This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it hasn't been, and I don't think it'll be going forward. But we got to get it fixed. I mean, that was kind of a blind shot there. I thought he had the ball in good position. You know, I thought the defender got a good look at it though, because it was kind of a retrace cutback play. So a little bit the perfect storm, but still, I mean, we just want to protect the football. You know, all our guys do, and we gotta do it. We gotta be good at it.
So that's John Harbaugh Monday night after the Ravens lost to the Lions 38-30, talking about the Derrick Henry fumble situation. Obviously, he's fumbled in all three games this season. So begs the question, it's another game where the Ravens couldn't run the ball at all either, 85 yards rushing. Are we concerned, or how concerned are we about this run game as the Ravens take the field in a little bit, start to get ready for Kansas City today?
Well, I'm old enough to remember when they were so galvanized as an organization, and I think it's fair to say somewhat consumed with their prowess running the football, that I believe this is when Vic Fangio truly became crybaby Vic Fangio, which was they're playing Denver when Fangio's coaching Denver.
Oh,
and
the
it's
red,
an ugly game,
yards, yeah.
And they're going out of their way to get 100 yards team rushing at the end of the game to keep their streak going. Right. And then they get Derrick Henry in here and the thing goes to another level. So for them to struggle to run the ball for 60, 70 yards, let alone 100 in back-to-back weeks at home. I mean, I think that's noteworthy. I think that's I think alarm bells should be ringing a little bit. Yeah, there's mitigating circumstances. No Pat Ricard. Okay. But it's basically the same offensive line as last year. And it's the same play caller, and the quarterback is still an MVP. I think when you saw what they did for so long and you see how much they're struggling now, and also with their defense being this bad, they have to sustain drives. They can't go three and out. They can't have Lamar in second and eight and third and six all the time. And the way they're doing it right now, they're not winning on early downs and they're not winning in the first half. Running the ball, power, traditional stuff for Derrick Henry. And when they get cute with Derrick Henry and put him out wide and get him too horizontal and play around with option passes and cute stuff like that, it's really to their own detriment. So I think they need to get real about what's working and what's not and how to sustain drives and how not to. And if the offensive line isn't going to be great right now and Ricard's going to miss another game and now we're going to Arrowhead, I think you need to get very real about what it means to have a running back on the field who can win for you in the pass game and one who can't. Because I think they need more than two or three guys running routes or two or three guys on the football field who you have to worry about defending. And I think they're facing one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinators in the NFL. And it might be time for a new wrinkle. And it might be time for more of your third down back on early downs.
It's definitely a concern. You go back to the Browns game, it was the lowest rushing output in the Lamar Jackson era. And I keep going back to the word consistency that I was bringing up yesterday. You can look at Derrick Henry, and he's got 6 10-plus yard carries, which is the second most by any running back in football, but it's the lack of consistency and the negative plays that we've seen more and more this year compared to last year, which really takes you off schedule. And I'll also bring up a non-running back. I'd like to see Lamar Jackson run the football more, and it's something we brought up year over year, where the first month of the season traditionally has been when Lamar runs the least, just 8.5 carries per game in September, and it goes up each month after that. He's only got 15 carries so far this year, and I thought we saw a couple design runs Monday night against the Lions, but I'd like to see Lamar get involved in the running attack too.
I gotta admit, and absolutely right to point out, it's basically the same line as a year ago, but I'm really concerned about this offensive line. And to Jason's point, some of this play calling where you don't have Derrick Henry running right or left, and he's not north south, and he's a big guy. It's hard to get things going that way. And the other thing that's concerning is, okay, so you played a game wrecker Myles Garrett 2 weeks ago. Aiden Hutchinson can be a game wrecker. That was Monday night. Oh, and now you got Chris Jones this Sunday. He can wreck your offensive line as well. So the task doesn't get easier. It's a short week, and this line is coming off back to back, in my opinion, absolutely horse bleep performances.
Well, I think something else they might have to think about, and it's really hard. I don't think you can have four running backs up.
Keaton Mitchell?
Well, I mean, if your offensive line is not great and your 31-year-old back is starting to maybe look 31 and the fullback's not coming back, and getting Likely back might help, but we're not even positive about that. Do you need someone who can be a home run hitter for you in high percentage underneath checkdowns and hots? They play pretty much nothing but close games, and two or three plays can be the difference in the game. And, you know, I don't know how they make the numbers work. And maybe that just becomes more Justice Hill, who's obviously not as explosive as Keaton Mitchell, but he's also not a liability in pass protection. But I think it's got to be more than Zay running around 5 yards within the line of scrimmage on bubble screens and slip screens and stuff like that. I think they've got to get more people involved in that.
I'm with you 100%. I was bringing it up even prior to the season starting that Keaton Mitchell should have a role in this offense. And I'm not saying he needs 10 touches every single week, but when you have the home run hitting ability that he has, there's so much value to that. And John Harbaugh was asked about Keaton Mitchell on Saturday, and of course, he's pointed out to special teams, and that's where Rasheen Ali has him beat. And Ali's been solid as a kick returner to start the season. He absolutely has. But I just, with Keaton Mitchell, you saw the burst was back during training camp. You saw it was back in that first preseason game against the Colts. I think he could have a role in this offense.
Ravens will be back on the practice field, I think, in about an hour. So we'll know if Nnamdi Madubuike, Isaiah Likely, et cetera, as the assembled media will be reporting who is out there. But we have a big Wednesday show guest-wise. Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our Baltimore baseball tonight coverage, Mike Bordick, joins us at 3 o'clock. We'll get our college football best bets with our buddy Tim Murray from VSiN at 3:30. And it's a double dip of BBT crew. The newlywed Ryan Ripken joins us at 5. He'll be part of BBT tonight at 5:30 with Bob Haney at Pickles, the final BBT at Pickles of the season.
Yeah. O's playing out the string. I guess they'll get this in tonight.
Yeah.
You know. I guess the supercomputer finally figured out that Dean Kramer and Sam Basayo might not be a good mix.
They did, yeah. How about Dean Kramer against the Tampa Bay Rays? That's crazy.
He owns them. Adley's back. Kowser hit a homer.
Second on the team in home runs, Jason.
And he's also like second in the majors in strikeout rate.
Both stats are true.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still playing baseball.
When he hits it, he hits it hard. But the problem is he misses it a lot.
Yeah.
Coming up next, though, before we turn the page on Monday night and start looking ahead completely to Sunday, postgame sound, we were so focused on everything else going on yesterday and hearing from the people. What about what the Ravens were saying after the game? We'll hear a little Harbs, a little Lamar, maybe some Kyle Hamilton next here on.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not gonna be able to give you the biggest problem. The biggest problem is we didn't play good run defense. I mean, we didn't, as a defense complete, we didn't do it. And that's not going to be good enough. There's nobody in that locker room that thinks that's good enough. That's disappointing.
So that's John Harbaugh after a game in which the Detroit Lions rushed for 224 yards. He said, I can't give you specifics. He also pointed to the have to watch the tape a few times before he can really give you specifics. But obviously, that was a lousy performance from the defense on Monday night.
I mean, it's been a lousy defense more often than not under Zach Orr.
Yes.
And even again, we talked about it last year. When it got back to being a highly functional, competent defense, it still wasn't a big takeaway defense. It wasn't a big play defense. It was a keep everything in front of you defense, a keep it simple, stupid defense. But I didn't think it was a master's level playoff caliber defense. And the 10 weeks preceding that, it was the worst pass defense in the NFL. So I think this is deep-seated. I think it has issues in personnel. I think it has issues in culture. They weeded out a couple coaches who were seen as bad apples. We all loved the Pagano hire, yet here we are a month into the season, and they're fighting desperately not to be 1-3 again, and they're looking like abject failures defensively in the fourth quarter. And there's issues playing man. There's issues playing zone. There's issues understanding close and late situations at the end of halves and when to keep a guy in bounds and when to let him go out of bounds. There's issues with tackling. There's issues with pass rush.
There's issues.
And now, on top of all that, without Matabike, I think he can run all over him all day long.
It's not only that they got ran over. They got ran over up the gut. They gave up 207 of the 224 between the tackles. That's what makes it way worse for me is you're getting blown off the ball. Your interior defensive linemen are getting blown off the ball. And then your linebackers, they just weren't there. It was non-existent.
So they couldn't stop the run, and they couldn't get to the quarterback. Harbs, what about the pass rush?
Yeah, we'll go back and look at the number, the calls. And we sent some number five-man rushes. We had a couple six-man rushes. We got to get better pass rush. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, to your point, you know, that's not going to be good enough ever. So we got to figure it out. We got to have an answer for that.
They had five quarterback hits and no sacks in that football game. On meanwhile, the Lions have 30 pressures, according to PFF.
Their edge group had 60 pass rush reps. They had six pressures, a 10% collective pressure rate from your edge defenders against a bad quarterback is going to be compromising your ability to win. Against a good quarterback, it's totally undermined. And then when you also now can't stop the run, and the middle of the field's open for business, not just throwing to running backs and crossers to receivers and anything you want to tight ends like it's been the last few years, but now it's open for gut runs. Ooh-wee. It's a lot to fix in a short period of time.
I also think something that's really telling, and we talked about this a lot following the Bills playoff game, the Eagles game during the regular season. Adafe Owe, despite putting on all that weight, he got outsnapped significantly by Tavius Robinson and the rookie Mike Green, where Owe just 28 snaps compared to Tavius 54 and Mike Green 52. So they still don't trust him on the field in those situations where team is going to run the football.
I think he put that weight on for early downs, and a beefed up Owe with no Matabike and no Van Noy is not gonna help you win in the run game. He could put on another 100 pounds and you might have
or you can get Michael Pierce back in uniform. He looks
change of position.
Yeah. Not only did the Ravens not get to the quarterback, well, their quarterback was got to. Lamar Jackson was sacked 7 times, which tied the most times he's been sacked in a game. So Lamar, why were you sacked so much?
Man, them guys were doing stunts and they had a spy. And sometimes the spy was grabbing my leg, and that's just what it was. You know, guys were dropping the coverage. Got 3 safeties back there, and I'm just not going to throw a Hail Mary ball. You know, I'm going to read the coverage out and then try to make something happen.
Jason, I said this to you yesterday. This reminded me of one of those games in Pittsburgh from years past. It's the first time I've seen Lamar uncertain in a while as to for what he was seeing. The Lions did a really good job of, quite frankly, confusing Lamar Jackson at times, and he wasn't assertive as far as his decision making.
No, they rattled him. They started to win up front. They've got really active, fast linebackers who understood the assignment and were able to keep him penned in. They caged him in. They caught him from behind when he stepped up in the pocket. I think the offensive line had something to do with that. They got his internal clock all screwed up. We talked about it yesterday, 3.4 seconds to throw, ain't called flying in the NFL. You better be making some serious Superman hero ball plays on extended busted plays to make those numbers work, especially when you're getting beat up front like they were. And if you're running 3-man routes because you got to get, you know, a fullback on the field to help block and this or that, and one of those three or potential three is a running back you never throw to, then, and they've got 6 back because they don't have to bring numbers to create this havoc up front. So if they got 6 in the back and 5 up front, and you've got 1 wide receiver, 1 tight end, and a running back who you never throw to as potential targets, that's what Lamar was saying there. The math don't math. And when I tried to turn something into nothing, and at times he held the ball too long before he did that, they've got me caged in and they're catching me from behind. And my linemen are running upfield without their head on a swivel, realizing the block's behind me, not in front of me. Then guess what? That's what it looks like.
I think it's a combination of everything. I know he answered the question when asked about if there's extra pressure on him in the offense because the defense is struggling, and he said all the right things. But you can't say that that's not in the back of his head. And it looked like, definitely at times, he wasn't trusting the offensive line, and he was trying to do too much. But if you just look at the box score, fantastic numbers, but there were definitely multiple negative plays, you know, you can attribute to Lamar Jackson in that game trying to do too much.
Let's get back to the defense. Kyle Hamilton speaking after the game. What'd you think of the run defense, Kyle?
Definitely not where we wanted to be. No excuses can be made at this point. If it's not one thing, it's another, and we just got to patch everything up right now. Just take it for granted. Our run defense, it's been pretty good the whole time I've been here. But when a team runs the ball like that, it just demoralizes you more than passing the ball.
He seemed to be, and Bone, you were in the room, he seemed to be sort of frustrated, at his wit's end. You could tell that he was not of sound, not sound, but he was not thrilled.
He took it personally, and he should. It was an embarrassing performance by that defense, and Kyle, not saying this is all Kyle Hamilton, because it wasn't, but Kyle Hamilton's highest paid safety in the NFL, and you take on more of a leadership role when you get that type of bag, and for the defense to get ran over like that, and his words, it's demoralizing. It's demoralizing when you know the opposing team is going to run the football up the gut and you can't stop it.
You want to hear more from Kyle Hamilton?
Yeah, man.
He was
good. Are we going to hear more about Nnamdi Matabike's status?
Today?
A little later today.
I noticed. They
pushed it back. By the way, the Ravens.
Like 2 days between when they play the game and when they talk next.
Jeff Schreibeck reporting the Ravens have signed veteran defensive tackle Taven Bryan, a former first-round pick in 2018, the Jaguars, to the practice squad. So, 11 and a half career sacks, 154 career tackles, but they're bringing
Styling and profiling like Ric Flair. Somebody's got his sunglasses on right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. There you go. Saving the season.
Yeah, Taven Bryan.
Well done.
Yeah. Kyle Hamilton says the defense needs to run and hit better.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, maybe a few plays here and there. And not making excuses. I mean, those few plays win and lose the game, so we got to do it 100% of the time. But I don't think it's anything that we have to. We're trying to reinvent the wheel. You just got to go play football. It's probably not a good answer, but you know, it's running and it's hitting, and we got to run and hit better.
Yeah, he struggled. I think what I was trying to say earlier, he struggled to find answers to the questions because. I think at one point he said, like, this is not like last year where we were in the wrong position a lot. We're not making plays. Like, there were some, especially when they had the Eddie Jacksons and Marcus Williams of the world in there a year ago, there were guys that weren't in the right place. This isn't that. They're just getting beat.
Dude, they I mean, they're bad defense.
You're 30th in the NFL.
Humphrey
said that.
Try to couch this a bunch of different ways. Go watch what Buffalo did to them, and we'll watch Buffalo the rest of the year. Like, I don't think you're going to find another stretch this season where Buffalo in one quarter of football is able to run 30-some plays and be that efficient, and you know it's a pass every time, and them to completely fillet you like that. I mean, they did a number on the Jets. They didn't have a 15-minute stretch where they did that to the Jets. Like, you saw them against Miami. Miami, look, the last touchdown is because of Tua.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, they weren't lighting Miami up. They don't push the ball downfield at all. They carved these kids. They came back from two scores down without explosive pass plays.
They just went up and down the field at will. And that's exactly what we saw.
You got massive. I mean, like they're kind of talking like there's this great defense there, and they just got to scratch a few layers of soot off. No. There's no there. Your scheme's only going to take you so far.
Coming up next, we want to hear from the people. Have you flushed this game? Are you still stung by the performance Monday night against the Lions? And how do you feel about looking forward to Kansas City? Somehow the Ravens are 2.5-point favorites in that game at Chiefs Kansas City. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on the Ravens as they start getting ready for the Chiefs this afternoon. We hear from the people.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
next here on The Fan. Time to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Ravens still licking their wounds after the 38-30 loss to the Lions.
Somebody's still wearing his sunglasses at night.
I can't confirm or deny that. But they're back on the practice field later this afternoon, and probably on the practice field with them if you're just tuning in. The Ravens have signed veteran defensive tackle Taven Bryan to the practice squad, according to Jeff Zriebeck. First-round pick by the Jaguars in 2018. He started 46 games over 7 seasons. 11.5 career sacks, 154 career tackles. That's with the Nnamdi Madubuike situation. So, obviously, Nnamdi Madubuike, I don't expect him back on the practice field today. But let's hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Start with Cool C. You're on the Fan.
Yeah, well, I said this back July, August, and September. The Ravens will be as good as this defense is. And I said, look at the front line. We have nobody. Look at the linebackers. We have one. And look at the defensive backfield. We're young. So I'm not surprised at any of this. I mean, this is not a surprise to me. We just don't have the personnel on the field. Now, with the I want your assessment of the comments of Marlon Humphrey when he says some of these players on this team want to compete. I'm sure you saw that. Is he referring to him running by Starks and Wiggins chasing down Montgomery with a big quad that they just were jogging down the field? Do you think that's what he was referring to? Because he made a pretty bold statement. I don't know how that's going to go over in the locker room. What's your take on that?
Well, I think he's the vocal leader of that defense. I mean, Roquan, for supposedly being, you know, the leader and all that.
He was not in the locker room.
He's a no-show when he plays poorly, and he plays poorly a lot. So you're not going to hear much out of him. And he's going to play really poorly without Madubuike in front of him. Now, I don't think anybody's going to challenge Marlon. I mean, Marlon, look, he had a terrible game.
He did.
They threw at him 6 times. They had 5 receptions. I mean, he was getting beat left and right. He had some issues being too handsy. He had some issues in tackle, but the effort was there. And that was an all-effort play to bring him down. And I think he does have an ability to say what he wants within reason and sort of call them out. Now, it'd be different if he's calling out the other side of the ball. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody on that defense can say a damn thing about anybody outside of that defense. But I don't have a problem with Marlon holding them accountable. I do wonder, though, if, because he's had some bumps and bruises already, if he had
he's got a groin issue.
Right. Running, sprinting down the field like that. I wonder if now he's going to be on the walking wounded list.
And you obviously hope not. But prior to last year, a couple years prior, he was beat up a lot. So you hope that he can stay healthy. And last year, he was healthy and he was a playmaker for the first time in his career, getting those 6 interceptions. But Marlon's, you can go back to after the second Bengals game, the little brother comment, and him even taking up for the offense again on Monday, saying, we can't expect them to score 30 points every single week. There's going to be some games where they're not on their A game, and the defense is going to have to carry its weight.
Joe's in Woodbury. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hey, man, this all starts from the top. I'm even talking about Bashadi, how he talked about this team is just his toy. If you think about it, he said, you know, in a couple of years, he's selling. He ain't even going to hand it down to his kids. Then you got Mr. EDC. Now, I'm going to tell you, when he first drafted the tight end, that, what was it, almost 25, 26? I said, this guy don't know how to pick.
So, well, that was Ozzie.
The quality.
That was Ozzie's last draft.
Right. And I hate them for pushing Ozzie out the door. See, Ozzie was a Modell man, but this DaCosta, he's the owner's man. But anyway.
Joe, just a clarification. Like, Ozzie wasn't pushed out. Ozzie wanted to go.
Okay, but anyway, look, the groceries were bought by DaCosta. Okay, so there's a flaw there. Then the coaches and coaching, that's Harbaugh, because the play calling by the rookie, he's still a rookie even on this mat or second year. He doesn't have the tenacity or the knowledge to call the right play on a play. And Harb's hired all these people. So, like you say, it's flawed. It's flawed from the top to the bottom, and I don't think it can be fixed this year. Maybe they'll get a number one draft next year up in the top 10. Take it easy.
Appreciate it. There's a lot to digest there.
Well, look, but I think people are now talking more and more about personnel. And the inherent flaws of this roster. It's not that different from the Orioles, where we talked about their offseason for months leading in. Someone told you vigorously and vehemently that they're not what their supercomputer says they're going to be. They're going to win 83 games. If things go right for them, Things didn't go right for them. Things are already not going right for the Ravens. And we said this team has a lack of depth in the trenches on both sides of the ball. They have a glaring lack of individual pass rush. And if they were to lose a Ronnie Stanley or a Nnamdi Matabike, the whole thing could cave in like a house of cards. And instead of deal with those potential issues in a draft that was historically significant at defensive tackle or address them in the offseason, they're now doing what they always do, which is they start plugging holes in September and October because they build a janky defense every year. And that's Eric DaCosta. But he looked great, and his stylist gets 5 stars from me. And if I was running that team, if I was Silent Steve, I'd say, Eric and Sasha, you guys have to dress up in Men in Black cosplay every single day in the office and wear sunglasses 24/7.
Until we get
an NFL-caliber defense. And when we get an NFL-caliber defense, then you two can wear what you want. But I would make that. I would make it a rule.
Uniform. Let's.
They love the cosplay over there.
Let's grab David in Baltimore. David, you're on the Fan. David? No, David. You want to get back to your cosplay?
I do have a poll up.
Oh, yeah. You have a personal poll. So
yeah, well,
for all
know.
Personal polls, we go to you.
Yeah, I don't know if you mooks would have signed off on it or not, and I really didn't feel like asking you.
Yeah.
In these trying times, we must face the truly daunting questions of the day head on. So I ask you, would you attend a primetime NFL game rocking sunglasses through its entirety? Is this socially acceptable behavior? I'm totally okay with it. 24%. Weird, but not terrible. 39%. Get over yourself. 37%. 400 votes in. You could guess where I voted. Did you Mooks vote?
I did. I voted get over yourself. I've never gotten the sunglass at night thing. Like, and we've been seeing that for like a long time. You know, people at sporting events and.
What do you think about Men in Black cosplay?
I like the Men in Black movies. I did not like the remake, but the Men in Black movies I enjoy. So if we're going to go there, good films.
Did you vote, Vaughn?
I haven't voted yet.
What are you waiting for?
I'll vote during the break. You
waiting to get a procedure done?
He's going to be bedridden in about it. When's that happening?
Yeah, don't wait too long. Over a month.
It's gonna you're waiting right for that? That poll's going to expire.
It's right around the corner, Bone.
Is it?
That's GG. It's going to sneak right up.
Yeah, it will sneak
up. You know,
that's sure.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's somebody's holding a scalpel.
And then at that point, it's Thanksgiving, and then it's Christmas. And
God, Thanksgiving will be here before you know it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, 2 months away.
Wow.
Months away.
September's almost over. Wake me up when it ends. Coming up next, Orioles finishing up their home side of their regular season schedule. Then the weekend ends and the season's over. But we recap last night's game, and they already have their lineup out today, and it's interesting. We hit the hot corner next here on the Fan. Dean Kramer saved one of his best for last. 6 1/3, 1 hit, no walks, 4 strikeouts. Orioles beat the Tampa Bay Rays 6-0. They said on the broadcast, 6-man rotation, obviously. So this will be it for Dean Kramer for the season. And so 11-10, 4-2-3, that sounds very Dean Kramer-like, but he's got a 1.64 ERA in his career in 11 starts against the Rays.
The splitter was absolutely dominant for him. Whenever he needed a chase and a swing and miss, he threw that, and the Rays complied. He gets into trouble early in games. He gets into trouble with the back end of lineups, walking guys in the 7, 8, 9 spot to get the top of the order back around in innings where he often already has 2 outs that comes back to get him. He can still be a little bit prone to the long ball. But what he is what they've often tried to find of pitchers in their mid-30s on the free agent market. He's an innings eater. He's pretty durable. He's got a replicable delivery. He's not particularly vulnerable to injury. He throws hard enough, but not hard so hard he's going to just try to kill you with his fastball and then get himself hurt that way. He's learned how to pitch and rely on his whole arsenal.
You'd feel good about him as a fifth starter, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You have him as a back-of-the-rotation guy. You feel really good about
him. He's Jordan Lyles, but as a 28-year-old and not a 35-year-old. He's Kyle Gibson as a 28-year-old, not a 36-year-old. Like,
He hit the post every single time. He didn't miss a single start this year.
A lot of
pitching
innings.
Over 170 innings. And with Kramer, if he could figure out, A, to avoid a disastrous start to the season, because April is always a train wreck for him, you take that out, he had a really good year, and the first inning of games. Those two things are what give him the most trouble.
Yeah, and don't have Busayo catch him. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science.
Well, Adley's back. He didn't get a hit last night, but he's catching. He caught last night. I'll give you the lineup in a minute. He's catching again today. Colton Cowser homered. This shows you how bad the offense is. So with that home run, he is tied for second with Gunnar Henderson on the team in home runs with 16. Jackson Holliday, 17 home runs, leads the team.
And we know they all strike out more than we'd like. And we know almost none of them walk as much as we like. And they're not all just going to get better because they're a year older. And we also know that the feast or famine offense is more famine now because they don't hit the long ball anymore. And you take Cedric out of the equation. You take O'Hearn out of the equation. You take Laureano out of the equation. They really don't hit the long ball as much. And Adley's power has waned. And the other power bat next to Gunner that I trust the most is rarely in the lineup, Jordan Westberg. So they're going to try to sell you that they just need to add a pitcher or two and rebuild the bullpen, and there's your 100 wins. I'm telling you, it's a fugazi lineup. It is a fraudulent lineup. It was a fraudulent lineup last year. It was a fraudulent lineup this year. And with Mike Elias in control,
better health,
it'll
Jason.
Be a fraudulent lineup next year. They're not kids anymore. These guys have been everyday, some of them have been everyday major league players longer than they were in the minors, because a lot of them moved through the minors pretty quickly.
Yeah, they did.
And yeah, there's upside on a Jackson Holliday, but I think a lot of them, Colton Cowser especially, are showing you who they are. And it just might turn out, even Gunnar Henderson, that 80-game stretch at the start of the 2024-2023 season, whenever it was, when he had the 925 OPS and 30 home runs before the All-Star break, that might be a bit of an outlier. Well, and you better get people in the lineup to protect them.
Well, something that we've been bringing up for a few weeks now is the possibility of Dylan Beavers in the leadoff spot, and we're going to see it tonight with the lineup out. No Jackson Holliday in it, so Dylan Beavers leading off in left field, which is cool to see.
Yeah, it should be something that's very much...
He's not hitting those 130 at-bats, Jace.
Yeah, it's something that should be very much under consideration next year. That should be an open competition. That should be something that they're willing to change based on who the starter is and who's hot and who's not and what's going on. But Mangiliano's been running his gums a lot lately talking about next year's team. So
maybe he's on the staff.
Come on. If he's on the staff, he's the manager. What other manager are you getting to come in here and say, oh, yeah, you got to work for Elias, you got to be a puppet for those frauds, and we're keeping Manzolino as your bench coach?
Hey, he's respected in the game, Jason. By the way, the rest of the lineup, Beavers leading
off. I respect him in Bowie.
Yeah, he's leading off in left field. Jordan Westberg batting second at second base. Gunnar Henderson's your shortstop batting third. Your guy, Tyler O'Neill, he's in right field batting fourth. Sam Bisaccia batting fifth at first base. Isn't that his first appearance at first base? Am I right?
I thought there had been a previous. Has he been there one before? No, he's made some plays there. He's been there previously.
Because I remember seeing him do the stretch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a big guy. Adley Rutschman's the catcher batting sixth. Ryan Mountcastle's your DH batting second. Colton Cowser batting eighth in center field, and Jeremiah Jackson batting ninth at third base. Interesting lineup.
Yeah. I mean, if Ryan Mountcastle's here next year.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been here this year. Now that one gets me going. That one.
I told you they weren't going to get rid of him because they're paying him money.
Yeah.
Him and O'Neill are the only guys in that lineup making real money.
Silly. Coming up next, though, you know what's always something I look forward to? Our weekly chat with Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight crew. It's Mike Bordick, who's actually going to be part of BBT tonight at Pickles with Bob Haney. Bordy joins us next here on The Fan.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.